I've taken charts directly from WH Foods because they're very easy to understand. And you're welcome to go there. And then when you click on the different different food, you can find out more about that particular food. So it's really helpful. So this is vitamin A, and these foods are actually ranked in terms of beta carotene, not preformed vitamin A. Preformed vitamin A is something that you're going to find in animal foods only. So you'll find it in cod liver oil, you'll find it in butter, you'll find it in some meats. But the actual beta carotene, which gets converted to vitamin A, is found in these nutrients and these foods. But the thing about it is you need to make sure that when you're eating foods that have good source of beta carotene, that you have some fat with it in order to help the uptake. So if you're having a salad, you know, have a nut or seed dressing on it, or have a little olive oil or coconut oil as your dressing, or flax oil, but always have a little bit of fat. People who go on these very, very low fat crazes are actually depriving themselves of some of the fat soluble nutrients. So it's very helpful when you're eating vitamin A rich, beta carotene rich foods to give your body some fat to go along with it. So sweet potatoes are at the very top. They also have the most calories on there. So if you ranked the foods as a source of beta carotene percentage of the calories, you'd actually see some of the ones further down to be much better in terms of how good they are. So the nutrient density is pretty good. That's a way to tell. So nutrient density on a sweet potato is 21.4, whereas on a carrot, it's 40.7. So the sweet potato has almost twice the amount of calories as the carrots, but they also have vitamin A as the carrots, but they also have four times almost the amount of calories. So they're not as nutrient dense. The sweet potatoes are. Now look at spinach. Spinach has almost as much of the beta carotene as your carrots, but they have less calories. Plus they have a whole lot of other stuff with chlorophyll and all. Same thing with kale. So as you go down this chart, you'll see a lot of the green leafies are here, in addition to those bright orange things like sweet potatoes and carrots and all that. Bell peppers, cantaloupe is even a good source. Okay, so that's your beta carotene rich foods. Now we're gonna look at vitamin B1. So vitamin B1, again, very good in your plant-based foods. Peas and sunflower seeds and asparagus and spinach and Brussels sprouts and cabbage and eggplant and romaine, mushrooms. They're good sources of your vitamin B1. And grains are also considered good sources, but notice they didn't make it there because of the nutrient density. Again, the grains tend to be, the grains that most people eat are refined, so we're actually depriving people of the B1 and then requiring the B1 in order to provide the energy from there. So for example, it's kind of ironic. If you eat a food that has some kind of sugar in it, some kind of glucose in it, you require to go through the Krebs cycle to process that. The Krebs cycle requires B vitamins. But if that food you just ate is pure sugar, where all the B vitamins have stripped, you still need the B vitamins to be able to process it. So you have to find storage of B vitamins, which doesn't last very long because they're water soluble. So they just may have to have been consumed within hours of the time, or it's going to break down like critical body tissue, or you're just not going to have energy from your food. So it's kind of interesting. So that's B1. And again, these are all from whfoods.com. And then B2. Look, spinach is on all these lists so far. Look at this. And sea vegetables and asparagus is on all these lists, and mushrooms. So there's certain foods that are really common in here for sources of B2. So you can see so far the B vitamins are pretty darn easy to get from vegetables. So if you're eating huge quantities of vegetables and you're juicing vegetables and you're doing smoothies with vegetables, you're going to get a lot of B vitamins. Now it's possible that you need more B vitamins than what you get in food, because you have either a genetic SNP or you've got some specific stress on your system or other factors that are interrupting. Vitamin B3, niacin, okay? You'll see that some of the animal foods bump to the top of the niacin list as excellent sources, but we still have mushrooms and asparagus and bell peppers and tomatoes on the list of good sources of vitamins, okay, of the B3. Pantothenic acid, right? You look at the size and the portion of that, and look at the amounts there in the list. The top of the list is something that has a half a cup. It's the mushrooms, shiitake mushrooms, 2.6 milligrams of pantothenic acid, B5. But remember the amount I told you was needed to therapeutically shift you when you're in adrenal fatigue. Remember, it was 500 milligrams, three times a day. And the top food on this list is half a cup, is 2.6. What that means is that you've got to have 200 half cup servings. So that's 100 cups of mushrooms to get that 500 milligrams. So in that case, if you're deficient because of long-standing adrenal stress, it's a good idea to supplement, right? Because you're not going to be able to eat that much shiitake mushroom or sweet potato or anything else of the like. The daily requirement is actually quite low. It's only about 5 or 6 milligrams. But what you need to replenish a severe deficiency is a lot more. And that happens sometimes, like vitamin C. What's considered the recommended daily allowance is about 660. I think they might have raised it to 100. But therapeutically, if you want to wipe out a bad virus or help yourself deal with a cancerous situation or an immune system problem, we're talking in the neighborhood of 10, 20, 30 grams, which is like thousands of times more. Okay? You see this a lot with vitamins. You don't see this the same with minerals. With minerals, the margin is a little bit narrower. So here's B6. So B6, we've got tuna topping the list, but then we've got our good friend spinach and cabbage and bok choy and bell peppers and turnips and garlic and cauliflower. And then we have turkey and beef towards the further down. So you can see that a really well-balanced diet, whether you're on a paleo diet and you're eating a little bit of meat and turkey and that sort of stuff, or you're on a vegan diet and you're eating a lot of raw foods and a lot of juices and a lot of smoothies, you're going to get really good amounts of these. Biotin. The top of the list is a food I don't necessarily recommend to people, which is peanuts, because peanuts are high in arachidonic acid, which is an inflammatory omega-6 fat. But the other things on the list can be pretty good. There's tomatoes and almonds and onions and carrots and lettuce and cauliflower and sweet potato and oats. I'm not a big fan of eggs because they tend to be highly allergenic, and especially if they're not organic. The fats, animal fats tend to concentrate toxins. Folate. Folate is abundant in green leaves, but it has to be uncooked. Whereas some of the other nutrients are not going to be as damaged by heat, folate gets very sensitive to heat. So you need to have an abundance of the raw greens. If you're in a situation where your gut is messed up, it's inflamed, and you don't do well with raw greens, then green juices work really well. Okay, or very lightly steamed, but getting your greens with the green juices or maybe some of the green powders as a temporary measure. But lentils tops the list of folate, which is surprising. But lentils we don't tend to eat raw. So if you're going to do lentils, you might want to be doing them sprouted. Okay? And just because a food tops the list doesn't mean you go out and eat a lot of it. You're like lentils, if you have problems with gas and digestion, you may not do well on lentils, but you may do well. But for folate, you usually cook lentils, and for folate, it may destroy a fair amount of that. B12. Okay, this is the only one we've seen so far that the only sources in food are from animal-based. And vitamin B12 is actually produced by gut bacteria. And the problem with a lot of folks not getting enough of it is that the gut bacteria colonies are not the way they should be. I also think that we used to be much less germ-phobic, and we didn't scrub our vegetables before we ate them. You just go out to the garden and you pick up the leaves of the plants. You may get a few insects on there. You're going to get some bacteria that can produce the B12 from the soil, and you can produce it. What I recommend if you are vegan or vegetarian and you don't get animal sources of food, that you make sure that you take a B12 supplement. In fact, most people require some sort of extra supplementation of B12, because even those people who eat meat, we tend to have destroyed our stomach acid and don't make enough of it. So many people don't make enough of it because of like lifestyle, because of alcohol and smoking and pesticides and caffeine and a lot of things that get in there, and stress that all get in there and destroy. Zinc deficiency. Most people have zinc deficiencies. We did a zinc talk a few months ago. You could see that. In fact, we just sent out the updated presentation on that just a few days ago. Okay, so B12 is a rare exception here in that it's found just in animal-based foods. Vitamin C. We went through this in our talk on vitamin C. We went through this at length, but these are all the foods that are high in vitamin C. If you tend to be someone who has problems with blood sugar balance, then you're going to be careful about some of the high glycemic foods on this list, like papaya and oranges and cantaloupe. Okay, so it's test your blood sugars and make sure. But you've got plenty of other choices with vitamin C. And you can see that a single serving of the top foods all have more than what the recommended daily allowance is, which is quite low. It doesn't mean a whole lot. But you know that if you're eating fresh whole foods, you're eating salads and you're eating steamed veggies and you're eating big smoothies and soups and juices, if you added up your vitamin C, you'd be well into at least 1,000 milligrams. And then this is just to remind you of some of the health uses of vitamin C that we talked about on our call when we did vitamin C. So it's improving immune system, infection. Antihistamine is really important. I've put a lot of folks on a therapeutic dose of vitamin C and helped them make them through the allergy season without their over-the-counter meds. Reducing inflammation, like joint inflammation or inflammation of autoimmunity. Making adrenaline, increasing iron uptake, healing connective tissues as an antioxidant and in wound healing for cardiovascular health, for cancer prevention and reversal. And it also helps transport fat into the cells to be used to make ATP. So vitamin C is super important. And vitamin D is another one where we're not supposed to get it from food. We're supposed to get it from the sun, right? And vitamin D isn't technically a vitamin. It's a pro-vitamin. It's a pro-hormone. And there's a pro-vitamin D in our skin. The sunlight activates it. It goes through the bloodstream. It gets further activated in the kidney and livers. And voila, we have active vitamin D in our system. You can get it in some food sources. The only vegetarian sources are shiitake mushrooms. But cod liver oil is the highest food form of it. You've also got it in the fish, salmon, sardines, and tuna, and a little bit in egg. Okay. Now, if you're a vegetarian, you can get it from shiitake mushrooms, and I would say the best way to get your D is the natural way, which is going out in the sun. And this just reviews to you. See, the sun goes in and hits the 17-hydrocholesterol, which is a pre-D3, turns it into D3, goes into circulation, and then goes to the liver. It gets activated to 25-hydroxy-D, and then, which is measured in the blood usually, and then goes through the intestine and the kidney, and it goes to 125, which is the active form. Important, important, important for bones, for immune cells. It's been found to be supportive and protective in cancer, various kinds of cancers. So vitamin E, remember, the antioxidant, really important for cardiovascular health and for overall integrity of skin and membranes. So these are some of the sources. Sunflower seed is the highest source. Quarter cup of those buggers has 82% of your RDA of that. Pretty high dense, as is our good friend spinach, and Swiss chard and turnip greens and asparagus and mustard greens. So I don't want you to get into the habit of just limiting your diet to just these foods that are at the top of the list. But it's really interesting to see that we see the same players over and over and over again, with the exception of which ones? B12 and D. Okay, there's vitamin K. Again, K is abundant in green leafy vegetables. Abundant. Look at the nutrient density. This is why it really requires caution when somebody's on an anticoagulant for using kale. and other green leafy vegetables, because the docs then have to be really careful about their amounts. But my guess would be that instead of putting people on anticoagulants, they could probably go on green juices. Look at the amazing amount of K in there. Now, there's different Ks, like D. There's K1, K2, and K2 is animal source only. There are some folks who say that you have to get the K2, and others believe that you don't need the K2. So when in doubt, get a little bit of K2. If you're vegan and you don't want to eat an animal source vitamin, the vitamin code has a vegan food grown K2. So K2 is supposed to be important, the most important one for the bone integrity. And if you're taking D and you're not, if you don't have adequate intake of K, then you can run into trouble.